In the name of the one who brings us freedom, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, today, as Pastor Ron said, we are going to focus on the word freedom and meditate on that word and dig into it. The word freedom means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and sometimes it becomes relative in our world and to each one of us. I don't know how many of you remember the 1970s. Do some of you remember that out there? Okay, 80s, 60s. Anybody remember the 60s? Should I keep going backwards? No, I know you did. You did notice that Pastor Ron is my squire. He brought this up here, so thank you very much for that. Well, there was a song that was released in 1970 by a singer named Janis Joplin. How many of you have heard of Janis? A few of you have. Now, I'm absolutely sure that never in her life would she have thought she'd be mentioned in a sermon, okay? I'm pretty sure that that's true. But she sang a song about freedom, and she covered the song Me and Bobby McGee. You probably heard Me and Bobby McGee, right? And I'm going to just read to you the line that says what she thinks about freedom and Me and Bobby McGee. It goes like this. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing don't mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. Huh? Well, you got to remember a couple things about this. When this song was written, it was written during a very tumultuous time in our country, a time of great social change, a time where there was a war raging in Vietnam, a time of great social change. I think not unlike a little bit the time that we live in, different circumstances, but a time of great social change, a time when people were searching for what it means to be free, what it means to be an American. I think we are in a time like that too. I don't think, unless you're living on another planet, you don't realize that that's happening among our country, in our country today. So at any rate, the explanation for this, if you look it up and read what she thought it meant and what others think it means, they kind of come up with all sorts of things, but most people think that it means that if you unchain yourself or detach yourself from material stuff, then you're really going to be free. So if you detach yourself from a mortgage, let's say, and you live in a box under a bridge, and you detach yourself from a car and those kinds of things, that you will truly be free. And she and Bobby McGee were traveling through the country, if you know the whole song, hitchhiking, and all they were traveling with was the clothes on their back, and that's what total freedom meant. Now, this is the same woman who sang these words, okay. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? I think that's quite the opposite of what she sang in Bobby McGee. She also sings, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? For those of you here who believe that color TVs were always around, they weren't. And they were very expensive when they first came out. And during this time, some of you may remember, Sue and I saved up for a couple years to get a color TV to have. But today, they all come that way. Well, the dictionary defines freedom in this way. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. The absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So as I said before, it's no secret that our nation is trying to define for itself anew what it means to be an American, what it means to truly be free. And so today we're going to tackle that word freedom a little bit. But we're not only dealing with civic freedoms, the freedoms that this country has given us, but we also are going to look at something that's much bigger, something much more important, and that is our spiritual freedom in our spiritual citizenship, which is in heaven. Now, the Lord God created Adam and Eve, and He put them in this beautiful garden. It was a free place. They were free to move about wherever they wished. They were free to eat everything they wanted except one piece of fruit. You know what happens when you tell a child, don't eat that last cookie, what they're going to do, you can be sure the cookie will be gone. Well, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. They were free to worship, free to move about, and then they did the exact thing God told them not to do. And the moment that happened, the leg irons were slapped on and the handcuffs were slapped on, and they were dismissed from the garden into slavery to this world, in a sense, to thorns and to thistles and to 110-degree heat and all that kind of stuff that goes on in our lives. And it wasn't the Garden of Eden anymore. It was not a free place, in a sense, and it was not free. God said to Adam, you're going to have to work now for a living. You're not going to go around and just freely pick off the fruit of the tree wherever you want to pick it. And so Adam and Eve sinned and were immediately controlled by sin and were immediately enslaved by sin. And it got so bad in the world, and we read a couple of chapters later in Genesis, that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to its heart. This nation was born out of a desire for freedom, a desire for religious freedom, a desire for freedom from tyranny. And we were basically founded with the desire to be a free people, not controlled, but a free people, a government by and for the people. And yet, as idyllic as this is, and even as we celebrate on the 4th of July, we must remember that not only have we been sinners in our personal lives, this country has experienced civil sin too. The native population of this country was imprisoned on reservations. Africans were brought to the shores of this country and enslaved on plantations. And so, as idyllic as we want to make this country as we celebrate, we can't just look at the good. We must look at ourselves introspectively and see that we, yes, too, are sinners civically and have not always been the people we desired to be when we came to this country. Freedom's just another word. And freedom can be very relative if it only applies to us and it does not apply to other people. So you have to ask yourself the question, how do we become free, both civically and spiritually? Because we are citizens of two nations. We are citizens of the United States of America, and we are citizens of heaven. Well, this is how God made it happen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God made it happen through his Word made flesh. And then Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen again to what Jesus says immediately. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth and the life. He says also, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are freed because God told the truth and he sent the truth, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And he gave to us the Word written down that reveals the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, truth cannot coexist with sin. Did you hear me clearly? Truth cannot coexist with sin. with sin. And in 1 John, and we say this sometimes in our confessions, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we are not truthful, we are not free. Our freedom comes from both the truth of God's living word, Jesus Christ, and the word of God proclaiming and revealing to us Jesus Christ. The truth is this, that we find in the Bible two very Lutheran concepts, if you will. The law, which tells us that we are sinners. I, Jim Pfluger, am a poor, miserable sinner. I stand before you and tell you that today because it's true. That's the truth. But I also stand before you today, as we confessed just a few moments ago, that this poor, miserable sinner has been forgiven all of his sins. And that too, brothers and sisters, is the truth. The law and the gospel is the truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. I like to think about freedom today in two ways. Freedom from and freedom to. Let me say it again. Freedom from and freedom to. Now, there are a lot of people who want to be freed from things. Things like social responsibilities, like moral responsibility. People just want to do whatever they want to do. If you remember the movie My Fair Lady, how many of you have seen that movie? Some of you haven't, I can tell. This crowd's a little younger than the early service for the most part, huh? Professor Higgins says this in the film My Fair Lady: I am an ordinary man who desires nothing more than just an ordinary chance, get this, to live exactly as I like and do precisely what I want. Freedom from responsibility. And Adam and Eve, when they stood at that tree and were in the process of sinning, were really saying to God, I want to do exactly as I like and exactly what I want to do. And we have been doing that ever since that fall into sin. Now, everybody doesn't want to be freed from moral responsibilities and all those things. Freedom from also has a really good positive side to it. For instance, the Reformation was born out of freedom from, in Martin Luther's life, from trying to prove himself to God that he was worthy. He finally discovered that freedom from meant that he didn't have to beat himself up over his sin. Freedom from sin. And there are a lot of other freedoms in our country that are good freedoms from. For instance, freedom from tyranny, freedom from poverty, freedom from all kinds of things that are good things to be freed from. We are freed from sin. And that's a message for today. Free from sin in our citizenship in heaven. But there is another kind of freedom, a more, I would pose to you, more exhilarating kind of a freedom. The freedom to. The freedom to. The freedom to be the people God created us to be and God wants us to be all the way back to that Garden of Eden. We live in a country where we are free to speak. Yes, we're even free to protest if we wish, peacefully. We are free to worship wherever we want. We are free to travel about this great country without a passport. And we can even go into California without a passport, at least for now, but, I used to live there, so I can say that, right? So there are a lot of freedoms, to do things, but the most important freedom is the freedom from sin, death, and the devil. We are reminded in Romans 16, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin or, I would say, the devil, who would enslave you and who you would serve, and we've all served him at some point in our lives, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. St. Paul writes a few verses later, and having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness. So if I may paraphrase it, you have been set free from sin and free to be a slave to righteousness, a slave to serve God and your fellow man. Wow. That's the truth. And how does that happen? It happens through Jesus Christ. Jesus freed us to serve. Jesus, the obedient and the willing, suffering servant who suffered and died on a cross, who shed his holy, precious blood and innocently suffered and died for you and me, that we might be free to be willing and obedient servants of Christ and of others. Freed from sin, freed from death, freed from the devil to civically and spiritually serve. Serve God and serve our fellow human beings. God comes to us in word and sacrament to give us the strength to do that. Today, as you receive the Lord's Supper, think about that. God is saying to you, you are free from sin to serve, to be a servant. We live in a paradox, don't we? Both civically and spiritually. We live in a paradox of being freed from and being freed to. And it is only through Christ's holy, precious blood that that happens. We know the truth, and it is that truth that makes us free. We are free from, and we are free to. Now, this week, in a couple of days, you're going to have a 4th of July feast, aren't you? And if you're like most Americans, you're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers and brats. You know, I like brats because I lived in Wisconsin for a long time. By the way, Pastor Ron, I got chastised by somebody this morning for not mentioning the Green Bay Packers. Never mind. Well, when you're having your feast, and you're going to go out there and cook, somebody's got to go out and cook that stuff in 110 degrees, right? And you come in, I'm going to challenge all of us, myself included, all of us, to take a moment to celebrate the country in which we live in prayer and to thank God that we are freed from tyranny and all of those other kinds of things, to serve, to worship, to do things that other people can only imagine to do. But as we do that, let's pray about the most important freedom that we have, the one that is eternal, and that is the one that the way, the truth, and the life brings us, Jesus Christ. And thank God that we have been freed from sin and free to serve. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Amen? Amen. And now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us continue now with our offering.